morning, why don't you get a hymnal, please, and turn to number 205 as the congregation joins the choir in singing Wonderful Story of Love, number 205, please. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, still he doth call today, calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, even from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love, provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above us with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love. You're singing very good this morning. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Wonderful. Amen. Aren't you glad you know that good story? You know, one of the most important human relationships that we can have is someone that we can call a friend. It's wonderful to be able to turn to someone that we know and say, this person is my friend, and I know that that person will stay right near me. Jesus goes a step beyond that because he is one that sticks closer than a friend or a brother or any other relationship that we may have on this earth. There's a song written about that friendship that spans any kind of relationship. Friendship with Jesus, number 128. Would you join us in singing this? You're singing very well this morning, and it indicates that you believe what you're singing. So let's all share in this good number. Friendship with Jesus, oh what bliss. Everyone singing number 128. A friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss that one, so weak as I, should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Friendship with Jesus. Won't you stand now as we sing verse number 5? You know, this song has covered many of the kinds of problems that we can have in this life, including sickness, including death, including financial troubles that may come our way, including forsaking of us by our so-called friends, including being alone, completely alone. But when we look at all of the problems that we may have, they're very small compared to the power that Jesus Christ has over them. And it's encouraging, I know, to me, to know that no matter what my problem may be, I can come with my problems to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We're singing verse number 5 now. And as we come to the chorus, this is a morning worship hour. This is a worship time. Now let's make the singing of this chorus just that. As we sing about the friendship that we have with Jesus, you can put your hymnal aside. You can close your eyes. And if you care to, lift a hand heavenward as you praise the Lord and thank Him for the friendship that you can have so intimately with Him. Not only while you're together in this church, but when you're all alone and no one else is near. Let's sing verse number 5, all right? A friend when life's rough voyage is o'er, a friend when death is past, a friend to greet on heaven's shore, a friend when home at last. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine.
Jesus is a friend of mine. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you're here this morning in the house of the Lord, are you? It's blessed to be here. There is perhaps a multitude of needs that are represented in this congregation this morning. We have a prescription given by God to us whereby we can have victory. All of our needs can be met. It's wrapped up and written in God's word in just one word, and that's the name of Jesus. Sing it with me, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that. If you really love that name, you want to slip up your hand and sing it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. Oh, Savior, Master, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth grow glad. Kings and kingdoms may all pass away. Hallelujah. But there's something about that name. Oh, with your hands still up, worship him for a moment, will you? Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. There is something about that name. That name that is above every name. That name this morning that brings men and women to a place of consciousness that you're alive. That name that delivers us from disease, from the power of the enemy, that sets us free, gives us divine grace and liberty and power. Thank you for that name this morning. Thank you for that name this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, there is something about that name. Blessed be the lovely name of our God. Blessed be the lovely name of our God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come in your name this morning to the throne of God the Father. It is your name that gives us access into his presence. It is your name that causes his ear to be turned toward us. It is your name that brings the response of heaven to meet the needs of we who are so desperate and so dependent this morning. Oh, that name, the name of Jesus, that name that brings deliverance to those that are sick, that name that brings deliverance to the oppressed, that name that sets at liberty those that have been captive, that name that brings salvation, that name that causes immediate response in our hearts until we lift our souls in praise and thanksgiving. There is no other name like that name. And so in that name we come today. Father, will you hear us? There are those that need a touch in their body this morning. We would remember the long distance call that came all the way from Arkansas this morning with a need, Lord. And this man who has served you so faithfully all these years lies this morning, Lord, and you know he's there in that hospital. Would you reach down and touch him? Put your hand upon him. There are those of our own household here, Lord, who are suffering today that need a touch. May they right now breathe the name of Jesus. And Jesus, will you in response walk into that room and meet their needs today? For every temporal need, may you supply it. Every financial need, may it be taken care of in your name. And then in that name, we invoke the blessings of the Holy Spirit upon this service today until everything that's said and done shall be done for your glory. Keep your hand upon us, cover us with your blood, and may this be the day of salvation in somebody's heart. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. With hands lifted up and lips filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, we bless thee, O Lord. We bless thee, O Lord. We bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, oh, in our midst, there are many, many things that have gone on, sometimes unnoticed by everyone because there is no opportunity to just actually give voice to all of them. But even in this last week or two, there have been miracles that have taken place, and we are grateful to God for his miracle-working power. When we're speaking about that, let me just remind you of something that we have inaugurated. Our adult Bible class, which contains most of our senior citizens of the church, meets right here for the Sunday school hour in this auditorium, has what we call prayer partners, and they are divided up into various teams, so that there are probably 30 or 40 right now, and I'm sure there will be many more, who are available just on a notice to begin to pray for you or your needs. We would like to invite your special requests to be called into the office, and they in turn will be just kind of channeled out to these various teams. And when you have a very desperate need, you can be sure that within a matter of minutes, there will be 30 or 40 or 50 people all across the city of Lodi praying for you. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, you're going to hear reports too of miracles taking place from this. And we're going to cover this city with an umbrella of prayer. That's the answer. That's why God meets us on Sundays, is because there are people who know how to pray. So will you pray with us? Perhaps you might be a visitor here in our church this morning. We would certainly like for you to feel at home. We have some little cards we'd like to give to you as an appreciation of your coming, and we'd like to know who you are. I wonder, as our ushers move up the aisle, how many of you, this is your first time to be in our services. Would you slip up your hand? We'd like to know who you are. We have some visitors right back here in the middle, Bob, and we appreciate you folk being here. I hope somebody will make you feel at home, let you know that we appreciate you coming to our services and enjoying the blessings of the Lord with us. We always have visitors, and we are always very happy for them. Praise God. Everybody ought to be happy this morning. After that break in the weather, my, everybody ought to be smiles and rejoicing, thanking God for it. Yesterday, my wife and I were talking, and I said, I really fear for in the morning. If we don't have a break, if it's as hot as it's been, I really fear. And the Lord must have heard my desperation. Anyhow, he sent us some cooler weather, and we're very grateful for it, and we're glad you're here this morning. Right now, let's listen to the choir as they minister to us in music.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for that beautiful number. Somebody said the other day that in talking, they were talking about the Revival Time Choir, and they said that Revival Time Choir was, as far as they were concerned, the top choir in the whole United States. And one of our people spoke up and said, next to ours. Well, that's the way we ought to feel about our choir. It's one of the very best. Come the 1st of September, and maybe it would be a good time while we're talking about choir to simply mention it to you. Come the 1st of September, we're making some changes in our music department. And on the 1st of September, Mrs. Duncan is going to step down as music director. And at her suggestion, we are bringing in somebody else, so Mr. Dave Yoder, who is going to be taking over the music department of First Assembly. We feel very fortunate in having him come our way, as we feel that he is one of the top musicians in the entire United States, and I say that without qualification. He has a standing invitation to come anytime to join the Oral Roberts University musical staff, but he just simply does not, sorry about that, Lemoyne, he just doesn't want to live in Oklahoma. That's just all there is to it. And he is teaching the junior college, Consumnis Junior College. He teaches music there. He is studying this summer for his doctorate in music. If you know anything about music, you know, it's one of the most difficult degrees to get in the world. He's an Assembly of God man. He's going to be coming our way. He has written band music, his own book of it. And so he's going to be working for us on a part-time basis. We feel very fortunate. Of course, we feel we're losing one of the best. At least I do. And I might be prejudiced. But I think she's done a magnificent job with the choir. And she's going to be stepping down, and he's going to be taking over. So I trust you'll pray with us that all of the things we do will be done for the very best, for God's kingdom and his glory, and for this church. And that will move forward for the glory of God. Oh, I get all excited when I even talk about the potential. One of the things we have is, of course, we have a couple of buses now. Pastor Ken has made up a little flyer here for the buses, and we're having a bus contest. You'll see some of them around. It's pretty nice. And the winners are going to be given a trip down the river on a houseboat from one of our members, and they're going to have a good time. Come the 1st of September, though, we're going to be making an all-out push to just literally cram and jam every nook and corner of this great church. Because the Lord willing, keep my fingers crossed, and the devil doesn't hinder, as somebody said, and if the crick don't rise, come the first week in August, we're supposed to get our other three buses. We only have one little problem. We are going to need to pay all cash for those buses. That means that we need $3,000. And that is just peanuts when it comes to buying buses. But we have $3,000. We'll buy us three buses. Already, one gentleman came up the other Sunday, and I told you and said, I'll buy one of them. That's $1,000. Others have said they'll give $100 toward it. So come the first week in August, I'll give you a week or two to think about it, okay? And then we're just going to take $3,000. If you don't give it to us, we'll take it. But we're going to take an offering of $3,000 and buy our buses. Aaron Becker and Jack Wiebe have said that they'll do all the mechanical work on the buses. And Orville Bonnet said we can have his garage and his tools to work on the buses. And we've had some other gentlemen say, we want to drive the buses. And I've had people come this last week or two, and I've been thrilled and said, we'll go knock on some doors so you can fill the buses. So we're on our way. Amen. So you help us, and I know the Lord's going to bless us. Well, speaking about offerings, while I have you in that frame of mind, let's take up the morning tithe and offering. I want you to know that we have this year taken in several thousands of dollars more in the general fund than we did at this time last year. I would like for you to also know that there is a part that counterbalances that. We have also added that many expenses so that while we're paying all of the bills, we're just keeping even. And when September comes and we add more to the staff, which always happens in a growing church, we simply will have more expenses. But you've been so faithful, so good, that if everybody will just remember that this is your home, and if everybody would determine that they were going to pay their tithe and their offering here in this local church, every need would be met easily. And if you do not pay tithe, and that has to be between you and God, I hope that you'll have a serious talk with the Lord about it, and maybe he can straighten out your thinking. Maybe he'll convict you. Anyhow, God bless you as you give this morning. I trust you'll give as unto the Lord. I trust you'll give because you love the Lord. I trust you'll give because you want his work to grow and to move forward. Gentlemen, will you come, please? Let's receive the gift of God's people this morning. Lord, this is your church. This is your congregation. We are thy people. And so as we give, we're simply giving to you. Meet all of the needs of this, thy church, through the generosity of your people, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me make a couple of announcements to you, please. I would like to meet with all of the parents. You have children or young people, either one, going to any of our camps in the next few weeks. Would you meet with Pastor Ken and I down front here for a couple of moments after church this morning, please? All of you who are parents, and I am sure that I perhaps have made the announcement at the wrong time because perhaps there are those in the choir too. Maybe I can mention it when they come in. I received a call this morning that we might be able to do something about. I'm not sure. One of our neighboring churches over at Rio Vista, they are building a new building and are hoping to be able to get in it one of these fine days. And the pastor called me. He happens to be a carpenter and pastoring at the same time at Rio Vista. And he said that he is quite proficient as a cement finisher himself, except that he's had one little difficulty. And that is the fact that in the past few days, while using a table saw, he cut off two of his fingers. So he's having some difficulty, and he wondered if there might be in our congregation somebody or somebodies who would be able to help them in finishing concrete. They're ready to pour their basement of their church, and they need somebody who can help them as a cement finisher. So if any of you fellows are cement finishers, or some of you would like to go along a Saturday or some evening or afternoon, and maybe you aren't finishers, but you're just a good laborer, I'm sure they could use that too. But if you do happen to be a cement finisher, they need somebody who would be able to finish the cement on a basement. So you could see me following the service, and I'll relay the message to him. We are glad for 347 in Sunday school, but I trust you'll get out to Sunday school and help us on these Sunday mornings during summer. We should be running 400 right now with no problems whatsoever. So please help us out. We'll appreciate it so much. We'd like to remind you that this evening at 5 o'clock is orchestra rehearsal. The choir meets at 5:15. Prayer times at 5:45. And tonight we will be having the Wayne Turners with us. They are missionaries who are going to be going for their first time to the field. Mrs. Turner happens to be Paul Pipkin's daughter. So all of you know Paul Pipkin. And of course, she's been raised on the mission field. And the Turners, too, are missionaries. So simply the young people now uniting forces and going back to the field. So would you be here tonight? Come praying and believing in the Lord. Next Sunday, we will have in our pulpit Reverend Mrs. M.C. Johnson, my brother-in-law who pastors in Springfield, Illinois. They're going to be giving us some firsthand reports on the blessings of the Lord in their church, what God is doing, and he'll be ministering God's word to us. You'll enjoy his ministry. So please help us in all of these activities. We'll appreciate it so very much. Sing along with me this morning as the orchestra and choir finds their place in the congregation. My Jesus, I love thee. I love thee, I do. Praise God. Do you love the Lord this morning? Sing it. My Jesus, I love thee. Jesus, I love thee, I love thee, I do. Thy beauty, it enthralls me, thy love has filled my soul. Oh, my Jesus, I love thee, I love thee. I do. Sing it again, my Jesus, I love thee. Enthralls me, thy love has filled my soul. Oh, my Jesus, I love thee, I love thee, I do. One of the things I like to do is to try to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit in the service. And I would like to do something I think that you will all concur with me about, but I want to do it this morning because you folk are sympathetic and compassionate people, which is the way we ought to be. And sometimes when we talk about missionary work, we talk about it across the seas in Africa, India, or China, or somewhere else, and we forget that when God sent the Holy Spirit, that the missionary work began first in Jerusalem, right there at home. And I'm a great believer in foreign missions, and I don't want you to get me wrong when I emphasize this. I believe in it. I believe it is God's message to us that we are to go to all the world. But I don't want us to forget home while we're moving to all the world. And when a need arises, I think that as a congregation, we would certainly be negligent in our duty if we did not take care of needs that are manifest in our own congregation. In the past week or two, a particular need has come to my attention in our congregation of some folk who right now could use a little bit of encouragement and a little bit of help. Things have not been the way that they had hoped they would be or wanted them to be, and they've run into a little bit of difficulty. And let me tell you something right now. That difficulty could come tomorrow to me or to you. You know, most of us as Americans live pretty well up to our means, and as somebody said the other day, talking to them, they said something about getting a big raise. And you know, I thought, yeah, if a guy got a great big raise, he could probably afford to live like he's already living, you know, but he could afford it. And most of us live to that place, so that every week is just paying the bills and getting by. And we have a need in our congregation, and I simply want you to trust me to take care of that need, because that need is prevalent this morning. And what I'd like for you to do, I mentioned this yesterday to the men at our prayer time, and these fellows responded beautifully. But as somebody said then, I just don't think that these men ought to have all the blessing. And I really believe that this person who said that meant just exactly what they said. It is a blessing to help somebody when they have difficulties. If you've got a dollar left in your pocket, I want you to help me right now to take care of a need that is here in our own congregation. And so that you'll know that everything is just like it ought to be, it really is not for me, okay? I just wanted you to know that it is not for me. But I do, really, seriously, I want you, if you have a dollar, I want you to give it this morning. If you want to give more, that's fine. But I want you to give it. Our people, you're such a great congregation that when needs are mentioned, you meet those needs. So fellas, would you come, please? And right in Jerusalem, we're going to start this morning. Take care of this need. It was a hot summer night in Indianapolis. The old Woodworth Tabernacle was filled with people. My father-in-law, Reverend Pano, was ministering that Sunday night. He had preached his heart out. He had come to the conclusion of his sermon, and with all of the passion that he could muster in his heart, he had directed his attention to the altar appeal. Nobody had moved. There was no stir toward the altar. Nobody lifted their hands. And I have never yet known whether it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit or simply because he had a burr under his saddle about it. I'm not sure. But I shall never forget as his voice rose and he said, with no uncertain terms, if that's the way you feel about it, go to hell then. And dismiss the service. Very stern and strange methods, yes. But some people went home that night, chafed in their soul and moved in their heart, and those words would not leave their minds. And ere the night was over and the day dawned, there were those, because of those words, who found Jesus Christ. Without knowing that I was going to say one word about this, that same identical story was related to me by Les Hickson this morning, that his father did that one time in preaching. And I use that simply to bring you to what I want to talk to you about this morning. And that is my subject, why I would like to see everybody here this morning go to hell. You heard me right. That's exactly what I said. Why I would like to see every person in here go to hell. You'll find my scripture reading, chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. Don't leave me yet. Stay with me. 8 and 9. And Cain talked with Abel, chapter 4 of Genesis, verses 8 and 9. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? In Matthew chapter 19, the parallel to that, and verse 19, these words, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember with me the story of Genesis chapter 4, how that Cain and Abel were both instructed by God to bring sacrifices before him. And you remember that the day dawned and the altar was made and the time came for the sacrifices to be offered, and both boys appeared before the Lord that day. And Abel placed his sacrifice upon the altar with the shedding of the blood of the lamb and the offering of the firstlings of his flock. And God smiled from heaven, and God accepted the offer of Abel. And Abel's sins were remitted that day because he had offered according to God's instructions. And now Cain comes to the altar, and with a smile of satisfaction, he places upon the altar the first of his fruit. And step back expecting God to also smile upon his sacrifice, only to find there was no smile upon the face of God. And the sacrifice of Cain was rejected. Why? Not because it was not good. Not because it did not represent labor. Not because it was probably the best that had been seen. But simply because it was not according to the instructions. God said, you bring, and only the blood will get you through. And Cain said, I'll come in my own way. And he has a lot of brothers living today who say, I can find my way into heaven.
I don't have to come through the door that's marked Jesus. I don't have to go through what's called a butcher's religion. I don't have to go through a bloody sacrifice. If I'm good, if I treat my neighbor in a good way, if I don't cheat anybody, if I join a lodge, or even if I join the church. But that is not according to the instructions. God said you come according to the instructions. Now, when God chastises us, or when what we bring to God is not accepted, we can take two alternatives. One, we can bow and repent, or we can stand and rebel. And Cain said, I don't like the idea of what God has done to me. And immediately there arose a hatred in his soul, and Cain found his brother Abel in the field and killed him. And then God comes down to call Cain to account, and he says to Cain, where is thy brother Abel? Now, he should have known that God already knew. He should have known that God was cognizant. He should have known that God was omniscient and knew all things. But he's like us so often. We smugly smile and think we've hid it from everybody else, so it is hidden from God. And he said to God, I don't know where he is. And then comes this pertinent, poignant, pungent question that he asked God. Am I my brother's keeper? Now let me give you three things very quickly. First of all, he lied. He did know what happened to his brother. He thought he could hide it from God. He thought he could get by. He thought he could cover it up. But oh, neighbor, the all-seeing eye of God looks down and he knows. The reason that he did it, and that's the second thing, is that he was jealous. His brother had been accepted. God had smiled, and God had not smiled upon him. And the green-eyed monster took hold of him that moment and caused it to lead to murder. And Christian friend of mine, and I talk to you for a moment, we must be very careful that this thing called jealousy does not get a hold of us, because it can happen to us even spiritually. God gave a gift to somebody else in the church. God allows a gift to be operated in their life. And he hasn't allowed it, or at least by faith you have not accepted, and that's the whole reason. You become jealous, or I become jealous, and we lose that spiritual touch with God. Or God signally blesses somebody else in the church, and we say, I don't understand how God can bless them. They haven't even been saved but a few years, and I've been serving God. Oh, wait a minute. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. It'll eat you alive like a cancer. It'll eat your neighbor until you'll be no use to God, and you'll lose out in your own soul spiritually. Jealousy brought about the death of a brother, Abel. The third thing that he did that day was that he was trying to rid himself of responsibility by saying, look, I don't know where he is, and besides that, I'm not taking care of him. Am I my brother's keeper? And that's the question that I want to hammer home into your heart and into your soul this morning, until when you go out of here, it'll ring again and again. Am I my brother's keeper? The world says unequivocally, no. I am not my brother's keeper. He ought to be able to take care of himself. I've got all I can do to handle my own affairs. I don't have time for anybody else. Therefore, if he can't take care of himself, too bad. The world goes further and says, if he cannot care for himself, then let him perish. Let him go. I don't care. I simply do not have time to take care of myself and him. Therefore, I am not my brother's keeper. Don't ask me to take care of him. Don't ask ask me to take time out of my life. Don't ask me to go out of my way. Don't ask me for anything concerning my brother. I just don't care. So the world says, when we ask the question, am I my brother's keeper? No. Ah, but when I ask God, am I my brother's keeper? It not only comes back with a great crescendo, but it echoes and re-echoes through the caverns of my soul. Yes. Yes. I am my brother's keeper. You see, this is the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. That we not only love God with all of our heart, but we love our neighbor as ourselves. Why does God say yes? Because he is my brother. You have seen oftentimes, and you probably get them, asking you for a donation, and the seal on it says, it shows a boy with a little kid on his back, and he's got his legs wrapped around his brother, and he's carrying him. And he said, no, he's not heavy. He's my brother. And that's what Christianity ought to do to us. To where we reach out with compassionate hearts and lives and souls to those that are around us because they're our brother. That's why God says yes, but he says yes because of more than that. He says we are responsible because without the knowledge you have, he's lost. He's on his way to hell this morning. He will be eternally doomed unless somebody puts a blockade in his way. Unless somebody tells him about Jesus. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. James chapter 5 and verse 20 says, he that winneth souls is wise. And it implies that the man who does not win souls is not wise. It is of great importance that we reach out with the gospel. Do you think that the reason we want to get 3 more buses is to spend more money and more energy and take more time and have greater numbers? If that's the only reason, let's forget it now. Even the numbers. Let's forget it now. Sure, we want the numbers, but we want them for one reason, and that has to be the primary reason, and that is that souls will be touched and lives will be changed and homes will be mended and made anew, and that has to be the motive, or we're doing it for a wrong motive. Sinner is a wrong object in life, and he's on the wrong way. When I read the New Testament, one man stands out in my mind, but let me show you what must be first. In this soul-winning business, our own household must be first. Andrew goeth first and findeth Simon Peter, his brother, and brought him to Jesus Christ. And when we are talking about souls, it's our own household. They must be reached first. And if this morning the members of your household and your children are saved, I tell you, there ought not to be a day when the sun doesn't shine in your life. And every morning you ought to get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my household. And if your household is not saved, there ought not to be a day that goes by that you don't say, oh, God, reach and save my husband or my wife or my kids. The first responsibility of a soul winner is to his own household to reach them for Jesus Christ. The second step is then our friends. For after Philip found Andrew, his brother, or Andrew found Peter, Philip went and found Nathanael, one of his friends, and brought him to Jesus Christ. And then when you have brought your friends to Jesus Christ, the next step is the whole world becomes our field. It is our responsibility because men and women are going to be lost, and there is no hope for them. Can I this morning conjecture something by the aid of the Holy Spirit? And I ask God right now to help me to make it real to you. May I ask you to take flight this morning from reality? And for the next few moments, will you go on a flight? I almost called it fantasy, but that's not so. It's simply a flight into another world of reality. Would you take it with me for a moment? Would you kind of shift gears in your mind? And will you put your mind into neutral and simply let me pull you along this morning as we take a journey? I would like this morning for you to take a journey with me into hell. Let's presume this morning that we could take flight from our body and that our soul for the moment could be gone on a journey into hell. Perhaps we would call it, because that's what we would experience, the flight of a lost soul. Let's presume this morning we're on our way. It would seem to me that we have gone into what I would call a shaft. It is a shaft of eeriness, of darkness that is so real that you can feel it, of darkness so tremendous that you can feel that you can cut it with a knife. It is blackness such as you have never imagined, for we are on our place, on our way to a place that's called hell. I think, my friend, that suddenly as we travel down this shaft, we would come into a gigantic open spot. And I think we would huddle together in absolute fear. I think the hair on the back of our neck would stand up. And I think as we huddle together, somebody would say, "Did you hear what I heard?" And we would say to one another, "It sounds like to me that I hear the rattling of chains." And we would ask that one who is our guide, one of the demons out of hell, "Sir, what is the rattling of those chains?" And I think perhaps he would push back a door that would creak and groan as it opened. And we would look into a room and we would find objects, creatures, if you please, chained to the walls. Somebody said, "Oh, you're imagining things. Have you ever read the epistle of Peter, where he says that there are angels who fell from their first estate who are chained, waiting the day of a judgment?" You would find those angels chained, and your mind would suddenly in horror respond that nobody knows how many eons of years they have been chained in this darkness, waiting the day of judgment. And that when the judgment finally comes, there is no deliverance. I think that suddenly we would be aware of the smell of sulfur, of the screams of the lost, of the gnashing of teeth, the groans of the damned, not just for a while, but for eternity. I see as we're there a great giant of a man pacing back and forth. And it seems to me in my mind's eye, I ought to recognize that man. But I can't quite place him. And I say to our guide, "Sir, who is that man?" "Ah," he said, "but after all, sir, you're a preacher. You should know who he is. You've preached about him lots of times. You see, that's Saul, King of Israel." Saul, King of Israel. The man who, when God called him, was so timid and so humble that he hid himself behind the stuff. That man who stood head and shoulders above everybody else. "He's here." "Yes, sir, he's here." Why? Because he refused the heeding of God's word, and God took his spirit from him. And I hear him as he walks back and forth saying, "I have played the fool. I have played the fool." Ah, but I see somebody else there. I see another man there, and he's got a wash basin in front of him, and he's washing his hands. And he's saying, "I wash the blood of this innocent man from my hands." Oh, I know who he is. That's Pilate, who stood that day with an opportunity to free Jesus or to condemn him to death upon the cross. And taking the coward's way out, he said, "He shall die But he said, bring me a basin. And he washed his hands. But through the ages of eternity, he'll never be able to wash the innocent blood of Jesus Christ from his hands. I see another man there, and it seems to me that he carries a little sack of money with him. And we know who he is. His name is Judas. He had walked with Christ. He had journeyed with him. He had listened to him. He had slept there with him on the ground. He had eaten with him. He had dipped in the bowl with him. He had heard his teachings. He had watched the miracles. He had seen Jesus heal. But he turned his back on the Lord for a paltry few pieces of silver. Lost. Lost. Lost forever. The rich man's there, and there are others there, and we could go down the list. Maybe there's that lady there. And you say, oh yeah, I know who she is. She used to come to our church. I remember, she's the one that said, I'm going to wait a while when my husband gets saved. Then I'll get saved. Oh yeah, I remember we had her funeral. She was killed in an automobile accident, wasn't she? She never got right with God. Or there's somebody else there that you knew that used to work next to you. And when you walk by, they say, yeah, you're the reason I'm here. You're the reason I'm going to burn for eternity. You're the reason I'm in hell. You never told me about your church. You never told me about Jesus. You never told me, and that's the reason I'm in hell. Now you understand why I said the title of my sermon is why I would like for everybody in here to go to hell. Oh, no. I wouldn't want you to stay there. I wouldn't want you to spend eternity there. No. I wouldn't want you to be in that place of torment forever. Just 30 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, would be long enough for you. And if you could take a journey like that into hell for 5 minutes, and you were allowed to be released, I'll guarantee you that you'd be a different person than you've ever been. I'll guarantee you, you'd knock on doors. I'll guarantee you, you'd tell people about Jesus Christ. I'll guarantee you, my friend, that anything that was asked of you in the church, you'd say, yes, sir, I've got time. Well, now let me ask you a question. You can't take that journey, perhaps, unless it would be by vision or by dream. And I hope to God you never take it in real. But I'd like to tell you something. One day you're going to stand in front of heaven and God's going to open the books. And you're going to answer, am I my brother's keeper? And with bowed heads, a lot of us are going to have to say, yeah, I knew I should have taken time. I knew I should have taught a Sunday school class. I knew I should have worked on the buses. I knew I should have been in Wednesday night program. I knew I should have sung in the choir. I knew all those things. I knew a lot of things I ought to have done, but I didn't do them. Wouldn't it be awful to stand someday and have a neighbor or a friend or a family point their finger at you and say, you didn't tell me about Jesus? You are your brother's keeper. You only have one life to give. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you this morning for sweeping into this congregation and for talking to us this morning directly to our hearts. Let not a man or a woman, a boy or a girl in this congregation ever lose out and end up in hell, because it's forever.
If they could get out in 1,000 years, that might be different, but 1,000 years are as a day. And there is no tomorrow because everything is today. Don't let them be lost. I want you to talk to every person in this congregation, and not to them only, but to me, every one of us here today. Talk to us, God. We are our brother's keepers. We do have to answer. We do have a responsibility. We can't put it on somebody else. We can't wait. We can't hope for a better day. Today is the day of salvation. Talk to us now. While every head is bowed, please, and every eye is closed. No one's looking around for a moment, and in this awesome, solemn moment, I'd like to ask you, are you here this morning and you say, Pastor, if I were to die this morning or today, if tomorrow's sun never were to rise upon my head, I'd take that journey you were talking about right straight to that place called hell because I don't know Jesus as my Savior. But preacher, I don't want to go. I don't want to take that journey. I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved. And today's the day of salvation, and you'd slip up your hand. Let me see that uplifted hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I certainly don't want to be lost. Anywhere in this congregation, quickly, as I wait just a moment, as I look across this congregation, thank you, fella. See your hand. God speaks to these young people. How many more? You're here. You know that this morning would be a morning when you wouldn't know Jesus Christ. You'd be lost. Slip up your hand quickly. Put it up now while God's talking to you. What a journey. What a horrible journey. What a place to be lost without Jesus Christ. Lost without Jesus Christ. I just wanted another good time. After all, I'd never really tried pot. I wanted to try it. You know, I just wanted to go to one more dance. I thought if I could just go to one more and have a good time, if I could just do that one more thing. But you know, I never had another chance. I was slipped out into eternity just like that. Would you slip up your hand quickly? I'm going to wait just one more moment. One more moment while God talks to you. God speaks to your heart. Now I want to talk to you, Christian. I haven't just preached to the sinner this morning. I've preached to you. Now I want to know what God's done for you and how God's talked to you. How many of you will be honest before God this morning? You say, Pastor, when you preached this morning, you hit me right square between the eyes. And I know that I'm guilty of what you've been preaching about, but I do want to change. I do want to live the rest of my life for God. I want you to slip up your hand all over this congregation. Thank you. Hands going up everywhere. God bless your heart. God bless your hearts. You can put them back down. You can put them back down. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me. Everybody stand for just a moment. Straight up 12 o'clock. And I want you to spend just a couple of moments with me. From all over this congregation, if what I have preached this morning, and if you have felt, because God's talked to me while I've preached, but I have felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit as I've ministered this morning. And if you believe that what I've preached is right, we are our brother's keeper, and this church is going to be the church that's going to get it done in Lodi. By God's grace, and you're a part of it, I want you to find a place down here front. I don't want you to kneel because we just don't have that room. But I want you to make your way. And Marilyn, I'd like for us to sing that little chorus, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. I want you to come and stand with me and make a dedication. I don't want you to come if you don't mean it. If you're not interested, don't come. If God hasn't talked to you, don't come. We haven't got time to play church. The time is too short. Jesus is going to come. But if you mean it this morning, I want you to come with me and stand with me while we sing it together. Will you do it? Oh, to be his hand extended. That's right, I'm talking to everybody, to young people. I'm talking to you dads and mothers. I'm talking to you, Grandpa and Grandma. I'm talking to everybody. Oh, let me touch him. Move in just as close as you can. Way around. Come up and fill the platform. That's all right. Some of you come right on up on the platform. Oh, so that others may know and be blessed. Come on up. Oh, to be, come on up on the platform. His hand, Jan, come on. Standing, just fill the platform around here too. That's right. Come on, some of you that aren't bashful, move right on. To thee, oh, breast, let me touch him, let me. That's right, come right on up. Come on around here, fill this whole platform in. Oh, hallelujah, come on. So that others may know and be. Come on, sing it out of your heart now. Oh, to be his hand. God's going to do it. God's doing it for you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, reaching out. That's it. Begin to reach out after God. Make a commitment to God. Make a commitment to God this morning. Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know. And will you just slip up a hand and sing it with me? Come on, make a commitment. Oh, to be. Mean it this morning. Mean it this morning while God talks to you. Mean it this morning. God's doing things around this altar right now. Reaching out to thee. Pressed. Oh, let me touch him. Hallelujah. Let me touch Jesus. Oh, God, see this congregation. See this congregation this morning, Lord. May know and be blessed. Oh, to be his hand extended. That's it. Make your own commitment. Make your own commitment right there. God's doing it in your heart now. Hallelujah. The oppressed. Oh, let me touch him. Hallelujah. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be. Now with your hands up, will you tell God about it? Tell him about it. Let God hear you. Let's hear a great multitude of commitment and prayer. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, this morning, God, touch our lives. This morning, touch our souls. Don't let anything stand between us and you, Lord. Don't let anything stand between us. Oh, God, as a people this morning, motivate us and fill us and thrill us. God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We believe you this morning, Lord. We believe you this morning. There are lost all around us, Lord. There are those that need Jesus this morning. There are those that need the touch of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, speak to them this morning. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord, by your presence and power. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we need you today, Lord. We need you today, Lord. We need you today, Lord. Oh, God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. We believe you this morning. We believe you this morning. We believe you this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Christian, listen to me for just a moment before we make our way home, and you can stay as long as you want. God's done some great things, saved some souls around this altar right here in these few moments. But you know, I feel by the spirit of prophecy this morning, I felt God speak to me as this great congregation began to make its way down these aisles. And God said to me, that if this people will really commit themselves unto me, that I, in turn, will open the windows of heaven, I will supply the power that is necessary, I will perform miracles in their behalf that they have never seen, and they shall see the glory of God on a scale
such as has never been witnessed in the city of Lodi. Hallelujah. And I believe that with all of my heart. I'm going to thank God in advance for it, and I want you to praise Him with me. Lord, I thank You for doing it. I thank You for doing it. By faith, I believe You, because it is not our work. It is Yours. It is not our church. It is Yours. This is not our people. It's Your people. And You promised. You promised. In the name of Jesus, I thank You for it. I thank You by faith this morning for a great work in Lodi. God, hallelujah. Such as this city has never seen of miracles and of power and of glory and of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's done. I believe it's done. I believe it's done in the glorious name of Jesus. I believe it's done this morning. Lord, I believe You to do it. Hallelujah. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you going to believe with me? Everybody's going to believe with me. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, this is a great sight up here. Come up here, Pastor Ken. I want you to just look out here with me. If that doesn't look great, I want you to tell me. Amen.
I'm happy to be a part of it.
God's going to do things for us. We believe. Just looks beautiful to look out over and see all these faces and hands lifted. Hallelujah. The glory of God on soul. Hallelujah. Now I want you to do something. Turn around there and shake hands. Tell somebody you love them in Jesus Christ, will you? Come on, you're a family. Tell them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Tell somebody about the service tonight. The Turners will be with us. Let's believe God for a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you.